We got to be dwelling in a secret place. That's all I'm going to tell you. We got to be dwelling in the secret place. What? I got to tell y'all. Shalom, shalom. I'm going to speak that over you every opportunity I get. Shalom. We even have a covenant of shalom. You realize that? That was Elohim's first covenant he made. He made it to Noah after the flood. And we'll read about that tonight. But do you realize that no matter what happens in this crazy, mixed up, and chaotic world we live in, we don't have to be afraid? Do we? For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound mind. Sound mind keeps everything under control. You don't let it go crazy on you, so you don't get into that fear. So as born again believers, as a born again believer, we have a covenant of protection, a promise from God Himself to protect us. God is going to protect us. He's never going to let go of us. He's going to be there with us. In Hebrews 13:5, Part B, Amplified Classic Edition. You can help me with this, Dean. For He, God Himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. That's what God has said of you. You're never alone. Even going into 2024, He's still going to be there. He's been there with us all the way through 2023, and He's going to take us through 2024 and show us more. Amen. You watch and see. Because in Isaiah 41, 10 through 13, Isaiah 41, 10 through 13, this is the Lord speaking now. Fear not, for I am with you. I will take you through 2024. Yeah. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contend with you, those who war against you, shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord, your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Whew. So you can face 2024. Boldly face it. God loves you so much. God loves you. In Romans 8, verse 31 we're going to start with. Romans 8. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us?
Nobody.
Yes. Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, for all of us, won't he also give us everything else? Pause on that for a moment. Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself, there we go again, God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? Verse 37, no! Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death, nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. What's love got to do with it?
Everything.
You better believe it. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's his love for us. God's love for us. And that's why we have Jesus. And we saw Jesus' acts of love. So we know what motivates him is love. A love for us, the love for his children, as we are God's children. He loves us despite what we do sometimes. But when we come back to him and repent, you know what he says? Welcome back, son. Welcome back, daughter. And that's it. He just gets you back. He looks forward to all those prodigals coming back. There's a lot of them out there, a lot of our family members. They've been on the run, and they're not having fun. But all are coming back. All are coming back. It's like I said one time, was up there, I saw it very vividly. God is like a hound dog. And when a rabbit takes off, that hound dog goes after that rabbit. And you'll hear him barking, 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 barking. And he'll go, he'll take that rabbit. I mean, he'll take that rabbit 50, 60 yards from you, and he'll turn that rabbit all the way around, and you'll be hearing it. And next you know, he's right back. God is like that with those prodigals we've been praying for. He's turning them, going out after them, and he's going to bring them right back. They aren't lost. Amen. He's heard your prayers. Right now we're living in such a disturbing time that it's just, and all the dangers we see. I mean, we know it. We can see what's happening out there. But in Luke 21, this is what the Lord had to say here in 9 through 11 of the Amplified Classic. I'm going to read, but this is Luke 21, verses 9 through 11. And when you hear of wars and insurrections, disturbances, disorder, and confusion. Now, it's in there. I didn't put that in there. Do not become alarmed and panic-stricken and terrified, for all this must take place, but the end will not come immediately. Then he told them, nations will rise against nations, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be mighty and violent earthquakes, and in various places, famines and pestilence, plagues, malignant and contagious or infectious epidemic diseases, which are deadly and devastating, and there will be sights of terror and great signs from heaven. Sounds like there are reports that we've been hearing nationally and internationally, is it not? All around the world, things are being shaken. God's bringing the shaking. What's more, between now and Jesus' return, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. You know, while the world is getting darker and darker, the church is getting lighter and brighter. In the church, things are looking up. Even while the world, are looking down. Even when the world is looking down, no matter how bad it's looking. Well, how is that possible? How's that possible? See, because as a born-again child of God, we have the victory. You're quiet. But we have victory. Yeah, we do. Because 1 John 5:4 says this, which we just talked about. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Faith. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world. That's you. Some of you said, really? Yeah, that's you. See, the problem is you don't believe it. You better start believing it, is what God's saying. He said, I gave you 2 feet, stand on them. He doesn't want us being kicked around no more and pushed around. He wants us to stand on our own 2 feet and look the devil in the eye and spit in his eye and tell him to get out of here. I'm done with you. I have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to take me through this. Hallelujah. Our spiritual rebirth provides victory over the world which is opposed to God. The faith that overcomes the world is faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God who died for us, who we will honor today when we take communion. The one who overcomes the world obeys God rather than follow the expectations of the world. No matter how dark the world becomes, the light of the world lives in us. John 8:12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The very light of the world, Jesus Christ, dwells within you. The light of life. God is so good. Oh. He is always endeavoring to get us in a position where we can fully, where he can fully do the good he desires to do in our lives. See, that's why he sent Jesus. So we could experience his goodness and enjoy all the blessings of salvation. It's also why he gave us his written word. So we don't have to wait until we get to heaven to experience those blessings, but can walk in them right now. So we should be walking in the blessings right now. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to enjoy them. No. We can enjoy them right now. And we should. So you know what I've been learning a lot more than, but no matter what the circumstances are, what's going on, what I'm involved in, you know, I look and I say, okay. First thing I do is I go and I look in the mirror and say, okay, what am I doing? Where do I play a part in this? Am I judging? Am I getting upset and not forgiving? Am I taking offense to something that, a word that was said, and it was said in jesting, but it, you know. So these kind of things. See, you got to go back, and that's what I do. So I'm just telling you, that's how what I got to do. I'm learning more and more. Not to start looking at everybody else, start looking at me and to see where the problem is here. It starts with me. Dean always says, right, you have one guy to be responsible for. Dean says, I got myself to be responsible for. Well, I think we all can say yes to that because we've been down that road. We've had to talk to ourselves many times to get ourselves back on track and straightened out. So listen, if we have his written word, then that means we don't have to wait until we get to heaven to experience the blessings. We have his word. We need God's word to live free right here, right now on the earth. Because we are surrounded by a world whose God is the devil. We can't fully experience God's goodness here and be lazy about his word. Instead, we must do what Hebrews 2 says, and it says, pay much closer attention than ever to the truths that we have heard, lest in any way we drift past them and slip away. For how shall we escape the perils of this world? If we neglect and refuse to pay attention to such a great salvation as is now offered to us, letting it drift past us forever. See, salvation is more than a new birth. The Greek word for salvation is soteria. Soteria. The guy says it with a little bit better of an accent. Soteria. S-O-T-E-R-I-A. Meaning deliverance. Preservation. Welfare. Material and temporal deliverance from danger and apprehension. It means pardon. Restoration. It means healing. Means wholeness. Means soundness. Boy, salvation. It's a little different than what you were thinking, wasn't it? It's more open to more things than you think it is. All those things became ours when we were born again. Healing, peace, prosperity, well-being, our families being intact, supernatural deliverances when we need it, and the goodness of God are all part of our salvation. And God wants you to know that. That's how he gave it to me. That's how I just gave it to you. But if we don't keep what the word says about them in front of our eyes and going into our ears, it's easy to let these things slip away and they'll get away from us. Our healing can slip away if we don't keep feeding on the healing scriptures. We can slip back into lack if we stop meditating on God's promises of abundance. The Word works. We got to work the Word. More and more and more. You know, when I keep talking about it from up here, because God wants you to understand. He's given you His Word. Work the Word. It will not return void. When you speak it and you speak it in faith, it will accomplish what you sent it out to do. But you know, there's a thing called, what is it, Tim, in that period? Called waiting.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of things can happen in waiting. Yeah. Hallelujah. If we neglect the truths revealed in the Bible about our great salvation, we can find ourselves being shaken just like the world. See, and that's not what God's will is for us, His children. You know? No. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are blameless toward Him." See, God will not force His blessings on us. However, He'll see to it that they manifest in our life as long as we give Him our faith, loyalty, and attention. I know you're okay with the faith and the loyal, and you got to give Him attention. Well, I got to check my schedule. You know, should be the first thing on your schedule. Him and His Word. Should be the top thing on your schedule. But He won't come in to take over. And He won't make us do things His way. We have been given the ability to make choices. And when you don't know what kind of choice to make, go to the Word. Go to the Word. Sit down and pray. Pray. I'm just sit down and have a conversation with God. And as you do, then when you didn't, then take a few minutes and sit down and just listen. Just listen. You'll get this calmness. You'll get a peace. You may even get an answer. You may get a verbal word from Him. But talk to God. See, the difference between God and the devil will try to dominate and run over us. He'll try to use the dangerous things that are happening right now in our nation and around the world to focus us to look at fear. Constantly, he wants to put us in fear. Get your eyes off of this, what's going around. Get your eyes on the cross, what He did for us. See, when I look up, I can't, you know, every sin that I committed is nailed to that cross.
Yeah.
Jesus is not hanging there. My sins are.
Amen.
He took them to the cross for me.
Yes, he did.
He took your sins too.
Yeah.
They're nailed on that cross. That's where they're at. He did it all. He took care of us. We just celebrated His birth. And we should be celebrating it every day. Wow. For without Him, there would be no preaching here. There would be no fun going on. There would be some religious thing. And I don't think I'm good in wearing robes and waving. I don't think I'd have made it. No, I know I wouldn't have made it. If it wouldn't have been for God's intervention, I would not be here. I know that. I know the road I was on. And it was. And as Gary, you know, because he worked on a road, you know, we were train wrecks headed down. And when you get a train wreck and it derails, it's a mess, isn't it, Gary? Yeah. So he knows what I'm talking about there. Hallelujah. As believers, though, we have no business in being afraid. See, fear opens the door to the devil. It works the same way faith does, only in the opposite direction. So when fear tries to come, just refuse it. Just refuse it. Is it that simple? Yes. Don't even entertain it. Instead, rebuke it. And speak words of faith from God's word that contradict the fear. You shall live and not die, is what he says. He says he sent his word and healed. So if he sent his word and healed, well, Lord, you sent your word, said I'm healed. And you're going to feel symptoms still coming on, things hanging in there. But you just keep quoting the word. He is Jehovah Rapha. He's the God of healing. When you reach out to Jehovah Rapha, he listens. He's just Jehovah's Tsidkenu. He's the Lord your righteousness. He's Jehovah Jireh, your provider. Jehovah Nissi, your victory. Hallelujah. Jehovah Shammah, God present with you. Jehovah Shalom, he is. He's your peace. He's Jehovah Rohi. He's your shepherd. You understand what he has for us? He takes care. He has all of our needs lined up. He'll take care of your needs. And once he takes care of your needs, and you know that, and you pay him the just due of his thanks, he will start to answer your wants. Tim, as you say, it's a stepping process. Sometimes you don't know where, if your needs ain't being met and you're in the finance realm, well, you need to write down where you're spending your money and figure it out. Amen. Sometimes if people come to me and it's simple thing is, how many, okay, well, you eat out how many times a week? Okay, take that out of the equation. And you buying this junk, take that out of the equation. And they don't want to come to me because that's what I do. You know, and when you look at how much money you take out of that part there, I go, oh. I'm just telling you, bro. If you're smoking, it's unhealthy, but I'll tell you what, it's financially going to strap you. If you're smoking cigarettes. I think somebody was telling me the other day, it's the cheapest pack of cigarettes you can get is what, $8? $8.50. Because we had a conversation with Jenna. She said, yeah, I don't know how people can afford it. She said, yeah, she knows someone that personally smokes. And they get the cheapest cigarette you can buy. And it's still $8 a pack. Whoa. And to think, what I did, I smoked 4 packs of cigarettes a day back in the day. Thank you, Jesus. Not only did my health get better, but my finances got better too. Hallelujah. Well, anyhow, we better keep going here. Okay. Now, God doesn't promise a world free from danger, but he does promise us his help whenever we face danger. Every Sunday morning, for how long now, we have been saying Psalm 91 together. You know, some are still excited. Some are saying, oh, well, here we go again. We got to say that Psalm 91. You know, Psalm 91 is really powerful. Because we just said it again this morning. See, this is a good psalm to feed on continually every day, because it's packed with powerful promises of God's protection. describing the person to whom those promises are made, it starts out by saying, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, on him I lean and rely, and in him I can confidently trust. Now those verses 1 and 2, God's promises of protection doesn't apply just to everybody. It specifies there in 1 and 2. See, they belong to the person who dwells in the secret place of the Most High and says that the Lord is his or her refuge and fortress. Dwelling and saying, those are two things we're supposed to do. They're part of God's protection plan. It's how you sign in. And if you don't keep up with the payments, and I'm talking just reading the word, you lose the protection. If you don't keep up with your monthly payment, you don't lose that protection. And then if something happens in your house, say, oh, well, I'm going to try to pay up now. They're going to say, oh, no, no, that don't work that way. I hope that makes some sense to you, praise God. The word dwell means to abide or live in a place permanently, to make it our home. So to dwell in God's secret place means we stay close to him all the time. We don't just drop in on occasion and then pop out again. See, it doesn't work that way. God's a wonderful merciful, is wonderfully merciful. But when we get away from him, our hearts and heads get full of other things, and that puts us on an unsafe and dangerous road. The only safe way to live on the earth is to live dedicated to God and stay tightly under his wing if we want to enjoy his protection 24/7. That's the first thing we are to do. The second thing we do is speak God's word. We are to say about him and about ourselves what he says. We don't say things like, I'm afraid I'm going to have a car wreck. You know, I've heard people say that. It's going to happen. I got to drive in that city all the time. I'm going to end up wrecking this car. I just know it. I've heard people say that. Or they'll say, you know, I'm afraid it's that time of the year. I'm going to get sick. You know, they speak it. It's always that time of the year. In springtime, it's, hey, oh, man, I'm going to have my sinus and my allergies are going to. Well, okay, you're speaking. Yeah, and you wonder why you have sinus problems. That's what happens. You know, we got to watch what we say and how we speak about it. Or like this one. They're cutting back. I'm probably going to lose my job. Why'd you put yourself on a cut chopping block? Huh? Why'd you put yourself on a chopping block with your words? Don't do that. Words like that give the devil a shot at us and to put us in fear. See, the devil can work with words of fear. He can't, however, work with words of faith. So when trials arise, he always pressures us to say something negative. Why does everybody want to talk about negative things? Everything we talk about, we bring it back around. It was a positive, but we end up putting a negative kick to it and wonder why it doesn't take full effect. And it takes so long to get through there. because we stop it in its tracks and slow it down. We trip it up with the negative words coming out of our mouth. The more positive you are, the sooner your healing comes. Physically, emotionally, financially, spiritually. Yes, it does. Because see, them angels are out there, they're listening all the time. They're listening for our words. God's mighty angels hearken to the voice of his words. When you speak his words, them angels are up and moving. And keep them moving. Keep speaking the word. Keep reinforcing it. I thank you that you heard that prayer of mine. You know, you just keep thanking him. You know, say, Lord, yeah, I'm, America shall be saved. No, America is being saved. We're seeing that. Let's start moving forward with America. The same as we can do with our families. You know? It says in the Bible, God hates divorce. He doesn't want division. He doesn't want strife in households. How do you do that? You bring Jesus Christ into the center. That's what I tell the couples when they're going to get married. You keep Jesus Christ in the center of your relationship, and I'll tell you what, things will work out. Things will work out. Hallelujah. So we got to practice speaking God's word all the time. Let's not wait until the problem is there in front of us or we're in that danger zone. We got to make declaring God's promises of protection a regular part of our life. Then, as he promised in Psalm 91, verses 3 through 16, we will have that. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Come on, Amber. That's it. Everybody. But you know what? Do you ever go to the concerts and the orchestra? And this is what, let's just do this, all of us. Come on. You can do that. Come on, keep it, you can hear it. More and more if you do it. See what we're doing? We're stomping the heck out of that devil right now. He doesn't want us to be in here. He doesn't want us to be in joy. He doesn't want us to know that we've got protection through Jesus Christ. They do that as an applause. And we do it as we're stomping down. But we are giving applause to the Lord Jesus Christ for what he's done. Hallelujah. So yes, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Say, and the Lord shall say to you, this is what he says to you, verses starting with verse 14, because, and I add, you have set your love upon me, he says. You have set your love upon me. Therefore, I will deliver you. I will set you on high because you have known my name. You shall call upon me, and I will answer you. This is God speaking to us here in these verses. He says, I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver and honor you. With long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. And remember what salvation is. It's coupled up. It's more powerful than just the rebirth, the new rebirthing. You get so much more. All because of what he did. So we have the protection right here. When we move forward into 2024, I liked it. No fear. No fear. No fear. You're not going to lose your job. You're not going to be in a car wreck. We pray angels encamp around about you all the time. Kathy Kirby, when she prays for that, you know what she prays for? She prays for every nut and bolt, every lug nut, every tire. I mean, I said, whoa, she really covers a vehicle. And she says, that's what I think of when I pray for that, for traveling mercies, and that's what I pray for. She said, when they're traveling out there, I want that car covered. And she does. Amen. And when it comes to babies, you see Jan. She makes sure she got that baby covered. She's got an anointing to pray for babies. Amen. He loves them. She has a passion for them. I'm not saying you don't, but I've seen her in action. I've seen her. I've seen that lady in action. I've seen these babies that have turned around. Yeah, she's been praying. She's one of the ones that's really praying for Ruby. Really. Caleb, she's been praying for Caleb. That last picture she saw, she was rejoicing. She was in tears when she saw that. Because she prays, those children, the babies mean so much to her. See, God puts a passion on each and every one of us to pray. And he'll pick someone for you to pray for. Just do it. They don't have to be present for you to pray for them. There's no distance in our prayers. No distance. We can accomplish so much with our mouths, in prayer. Not in gossip. You know, we got to make sure we separate that. When somebody comes up to you and starts saying, well, I got this and I got that, don't sit down and tell them, well, you're healed. Act like it's just that way. Let me pray for you. And you pray for them. And you know what? They'll stop talking about it because they want prayer. And I want to tell you about it because, hey, you know, I got this going on. But see, those who don't talk about it, you know, and they come to somebody for prayer, that's what you do. You pray. But, you know, you wonder why sometimes you say, you get news and said, well, they didn't tell me. Well, maybe because there's something that you might slip up and say that brings negativity into their prayer. I'm just saying we have to be careful who we go to on certain issues for prayer. Because the natural thing is everybody wants to talk. Less talk amongst yourselves and more talking with the Lord will accomplish more. Because you know what? You end up getting powered up by the Holy Spirit to be able to speak to that person and speak life, speak hope into them. And you actually speak healing into them. Amen? And we go, you know, we're going to take